WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Friday morning. It is Fun Friday. Our Fun Friday question of the day is, what's the best thing you've ever won? And I'm asking that because, of course, we started our Money Talks contest that is going to have your first code of the day coming up in the 8 o'clock hour and then a code every hour through 5 p.m. And then we'll start all over again on Monday. And we'll have a fresh new batch of 10 codes for you each day next week. All the details are at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But basically, you are just listening for that code every hour. And then you go to the app, you go to the website, you enter in that code in the right box for it. And then you're entered to win $1,000. And it's brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. When you go to the app or the website and you go to the Money Talks page, you can get some extra bonus entries. You know, again, follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all those different kind of things. And then also you can earn some bonus ones from doing the same for Long Moving and Storage. So why not get yourself an extra, you know, 5 or 10 entries to try to win $1,000, right? Just for clicking on those things and doing what it asks you to do. And then you get another code every hour. There's very few drawings out there where you get this many bites at the apple, this many chances to try to enter to win. So take advantage of that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And again, thanks to Long Moving and Storage for helping us make it happen. A couple of other things. I told you earlier about the Hunger Heroes food drop tomorrow from 10 to noon at Aldi at the Dartmouth Mall. We're going to be there collecting the items. You can read what items we're collecting at WBSM.com and on the app. But we're going to be there collecting those items and helping the United Way pack them all up so that they can help hungry kids during school vacation week. And I hope that you come out and that we see you for that. But that's also just one of many things that are going on this weekend. Also tomorrow, they're having the event at the McCoy Rec Center on Hillman Street, where they're going to be talking about emergency preparation, prepare NB. There's going to be activities for kids. There's going to be raffle prizes. There's going to be free food. And it's happening from 10 to 1 at the McCoy Rec Center, 181 Hillman Street in New Bedford. The fire department's going to be there. The New Bedford Emergency Management Agency is going to be there. There's going to be all kinds of folks there to help you prepare in the event of an emergency. But also, the city is seeking public input on the draft of their multi-hazard mitigation plan, which looks at long-term strategies to protect people, property, and the city against potential and natural and human-made disasters. Potential natural and human-made disasters. So they want you to come and take part in this public workshop that's taking place as part of this event. You can go on the city website or Facebook page to read more about how you can submit comments too and to read the mitigation plan. So that's going to be going on tomorrow as well. So you can drop off food to us and then head on over to that or vice versa. And don't forget, too, this evening is the Mercy Meals and More comedy fundraiser happening at the United Fishermen Club, 639 Orchard Street. Doors open at 5, a buffet catered by Cove Surf and Turf at 6:30, and then the comedy show at 8 p.m. It's an 18-plus event. Tickets are $45, but they're going to have cash bar and raffles and a door prize and all that. $45 gets you a buffet, including seafood from Cove Surf and Turf and a comedy show. You can't go wrong for that. You'll go out and get a seafood plate and pay almost $45 just for that. And then, of course, all the money raised goes to help the area's homeless people in providing them breakfasts and foot care and camaraderie and all kinds of all the other great kinds of things that they do at Mercy Meals and More. So if you want to find out more about that, you can go to mercymealsandmore.com or funny4funds.com, funny4funds.com. They will have some limited tickets available at the door, but you can probably still go online and buy them and ensure that you will get in. All of that going on this weekend, you've got no excuse to stay in the house. Although, you know, if you want to, I'm not going to stop you, but take part in some of these great things. Certainly come on out and see us tomorrow at Hunger Heroes because you don't even have to get out of the car, so it makes it a lot easier. So you heard Mike Roberts tell you in the news that yesterday the city of New Bedford released the names of who would be on the screening committee to find the city's next police chief and who and how that process is going to work. Now, we are less than a month away now. Yesterday marked 1 month from Chief Paul Oliveira's planned retirement date. So they basically have 1 month to get this done. Now, they could appoint an interim chief until they find someone, but Mayor Mitchell said with Chris a couple of weeks ago, you know, if they do that, they don't want to have an interim chief for a long time. They don't want that to be something that drags out. And in fact, if I remember right, I believe Paul Oliveira was interim chief for a little while before he became permanent chief. So it's not like this is unprecedented, but you know, there's a chance that they might actually find someone rather quickly. But the way it's going to work is the screening committee is going to do preliminary interviews. Well, what's going to happen is the city's going to put the job up on the city website and then placed with national law enforcement organizations to cast the broadest net for the most highly qualified internal and external candidates. That's what the city said in a release. And then when those applications come in, the 10-person screening committee will then select the most qualified candidates for interviews, and then the highest rated candidates from those interviews will go on to Mayor Mitchell for final interviews, and then Mayor Mitchell will then make the ultimate decision as to who the next police chief will be. So who's on this screening committee? Well, I'll tell you. Two current city councilors, Councilor-at-Large Brian Gomes, who chairs the Council's Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods and who was part of the last screening committee in 2016, in which they hired Joseph Cordero as the police chief. So you've got the chair of the Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods and who has been in that position for a long time and cares deeply about policing in New Bedford, as well as Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver, who comes with law enforcement experience. He works as a correctional officer, and he's a constable. So these are valuable skills to bring into it. Community members such as Margarita Graham, the president of Reliable Bus Company, Renee Ledbetter, the president of the New Bedford chapter of the NAACP, and Celine Sariva, the president of the Clarks Point Neighborhood Association. Also, retired Massachusetts State Trooper and former New Bedford police officer, David Reese. Christopher Bader, a retired assistant U.S. attorney for Massachusetts. And the Honorable Philip Raposa, a retired Chief Justice of the Massachusetts Court of Appeals. And Robert Wasserman, former Chief of Staff of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, Acting Commissioner of the United Nations International Police Task Force in Bosnia, and a senior executive and advisor in the Boston, Dayton, New York, and Houston police departments, and also involved in with Jensen Hughes and the review of the police department. And also on the screening committee is Kathleen O'Toole, former secretary of the Massachusetts Executive Office of Public Safety, Boston Police Commissioner, Seattle Police Chief, and the chief inspector of a law enforcement group out in Ireland that I will butcher the pronunciation of. Now, if that sounds familiar, it's because she's also part of the 21st Century Policing Solutions organization and review of the current chiefs, the accusation against him, the accusations that were made by the Boston Globe Spotlight series, you know, the Green Fund and the handling of criminal informants, and all those things. So this screening committee brings a lot of different types of experience and background. Now, who's going to apply? I think you'll definitely have some internal candidates who will be interested from the outside, and who will the screening committee select? And I think it's fair to say that with those names, you know, because here's the thing. We're going to get all the phone calls. You know, the fix is in. The screening committee is only going to pick who the mayor tells them to pick anyway. Like, he's going to tell them what names he wants to see them submit to him and all that. And, you know, I don't think any of that's true. But you're going to have the conspiracy theorists that believe that. I don't know that these people are all going to just roll over and do the bidding of the mayor as part of the screening committee. Now, again, ultimately, he makes the final decision. But we've got some pretty stand-up people there that are going to take this job seriously, take this role seriously. 508-996, oh, the phone call dropped off, but we do have the phone lines open. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. You notice what they put in there?
What's that?
That they have to live, they got to move into the city?
Yes, yes. They did say in the qualifications, I guess we'll call it, they mentioned that whoever is selected will be required to live in the city within a reasonable period after starting the job.
No, I understand that. But it's funny how the last two chiefs of police lived in Dartmouth and Westport. Don't you find that funny now?
Well, but they were also already in the department and already fulfilled the requirement of living here. So that would have been, you would have had to then say, okay, now, even though we've already waived that requirement for you because of your years of service, now we're going to reinstitute that. So I don't think it made sense for those particular people.
Oh, you don't? Okay. But there's been other cases where people have moved into New Bedford after they got hired in a position, even in the school department. Remember, Ms. Kenny, she lived in Westport. She had to move back into the city and everything. So, and the point is, you had the two city chiefs of police. Even Teachman, when he got hired, he moved into the city, bought a house. Now, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
Well, hold on, because I think, as far as I know, they haven't gotten the exemption pass for the Unit C employees, which I believe the chief of police counts as, right, a management position. So I don't think that they've given that exemption yet for those people not to have the residency requirement. So if somebody does come into New Bedford from somewhere else, they would be subject to that anyway. And I think that all the, I mean, I don't know who all the internal candidates are, but I would think that they would all be people that live in New Bedford based on who I think they might be and where I think that they live.
No, I understand that, but I've been saying that all along. They should have been living in New Bedford. Now they put it in the thing that they have to move in a certain amount of time. And a lot of stuff's going to come out that everybody's going to go, oh my God. That's all. Thank you, Tim.
All right. You have a good day. And yeah, so I don't know if that's a moot point to have as a qualification. Because again, if it's somebody who comes from the outside, they're going to move to New Bedford, right? And if it's somebody who is already in the department, I think that the most of the candidates is that I can think of. And again, I don't know anybody for sure that's going to apply for the job, but I'm making an educated guess. I believe they're all New Bedford residents. So it might be a moot point. You know, if somebody from, just for example, Wareham or Plymouth or something decides to apply, you know, yeah, they would have to come and live in New Bedford. But I don't think it made sense when you already had, you know, Joe Cordero and Paul Oliveira as people who had already fulfilled that requirement as career police officers in New Bedford, and no longer had to live in the city as part of that requirement. You can't then say to them, all right, now you got to move back, though, if you want to be chief. And also, from my understanding, Cordero only lived like you could spit from the New Bedford line to Dartmouth. That's what I was told. I don't know exactly where his house was. But yes, Chief Oliveira lives in Dartmouth. I'm sorry, in Westport. And if you didn't know that already, you know that by listening to Snitch City because they showed up on his doorstep. By the way, great job by Chris McCarthy appearing in Snitch City, unbeknownst to him, because they pulled quite a bit of audio from Chris and the mayor and put into that last episode of Snitch City. So you're welcome. Thanks for asking. I don't think you have to ask because there's this thing called fair use and nobody really understands exactly how it works. But because it was used in reporting and, so they can technically utilize it because it was said in a public forum and all that kind of stuff. But it's just a professional courtesy to say, is it okay if we use this? I mean, we've put up photos and video and audio before, and we've had people reach out to us and say, hey, it's, whoever from Channel 25 or, Ted Nesi from Channel 12 or whoever. Is it okay if we use this? Well, I think Ted knows it's okay. But Ben Burke from the Rhode Island Public Radio, like he will ask all the time to be able to use something. And I'm always like, it's totally cool if you want to use it, but he'll still ask and then let me know that he used it. Like these are just common courtesies. But I don't know. It's fine. It only helps us. It just would have been better if they mentioned the call letters. But if anybody's listening to that elsewhere and they're like, well, New Bedford radio station, they're going to find us. So I guess it's okay. 508-996-0500. Don't forget to our Fun Friday question today. What's the best thing you've ever won? Maybe it'll be $1,000 coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But right now I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few. All right. Now it is time to go to the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Canada's prime minister reacts to new tariffs, a possible vaccine that may help with Alzheimer's, and a stolen cinnamon bun landing a man in jail.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is now running as an independent as he tries to get reelected. Scott Pringle reports.
Mayor Adams released a video one day after a federal judge dismissed federal charges against him, saying he's going to forego the Democratic primary.
But the dismissal of the bogus case against me dragged on too long, making it impossible to mount a primary campaign while these false accusations were held over me.
The mayor went on to say he believes the city is better served by truly independent leadership. Adams is behind in the polls that were taken prior to the federal charges being dismissed.
Stellantis is temporarily laying off 900 employees in response to President Trump's tariff announcement. The layoffs will impact workers at 5 of the automaker's U.S. facilities. Stellantis also announced it will be pausing production at 2 of its plants in Canada and Mexico. In a letter to employees, the company said it's assessing the medium and long-term effects the tariffs might have on operations. One teen is dead, another in custody after a stabbing at a high school track meet in Dallas. The victim's father, Jeff Metcalf, said this was a heartbreaking situation.
He stabbed my son in the heart and killed him.
That's the extent of this?
That's what it was over. Something so small, so trivial.
The dispute started over a seat in the stadium during a track meet earlier in the week. Former President Barack Obama is offering an apology for his surprise appearance in a family photo. Obama was taking in the cherry blossoms during a morning walk on Monday when he strolled into a series of pictures being taken by the Moore family of their two young children. When they were reviewing the shots, Obama was in the background. The former president caught wind of what happened and reshared their post on Instagram, writing, "Preston and Bell, I hope you enjoyed peak bloom. My bad for stepping into the shot." The Nintendo Switch 2 is hitting shelves on June 5th. Costs $449 for the console. Or you could purchase a $500 version that comes with Mario Kart World. The new device will be a bigger and faster version. The original Switch has sold 150 million units since its release in 2017. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says his country will impose counter-auto tariffs in response to President Trump's announcement Wednesday. Carney said the impact of tariffs announced by Trump will be felt around the world.
The ambition of these measures is enormous. The effects on the global economy will be monumental.
Amazon MGM has started work on a new James Bond film at CinemaCon in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Studio executives say producers are in London getting started. The studio says they are committed to honoring the legacy of the iconic Bond character while bringing a fresh, exotic, new chapter to audiences around the world. A new study says a shingles vaccine may help protect against dementia.
The study, published Wednesday in the journal Nature, looked at data from over 280,000 older adults in the UK and found those who were vaccinated for shingles were 20% less likely to develop dementia than those who were not vaccinated. A previous study had found an association between the shingles vaccine and a lower risk of dementia in women, but this is the first study to include people who were not vaccinated. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Bruce Springsteen will be giving fans a treasure chest full of previously unreleased music this summer. The Boss announced tracks 2, the Lost Albums box set, will be released June 27th, featuring 7 previously unheard albums. Containing a total of 83 songs, he released the song Rain in the River from the album Perfect World yesterday. A man in North Carolina facing charges after allegedly stealing a cinnamon bun from a grocery store and brandishing a machete. Authorities identified the suspect as Jeffrey Dwayne Bradburn. He was charged with armed robbery, shoplifting, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Police responded to the incident in Asheville after receiving reports of the robbery. They apprehended Bradburn. He was found eating the stolen cinnamon bun. He was booked into a detention facility with a $50,000 bond.
WBSM Sports.
It was the Red Sox over the Orioles 8-4 yesterday afternoon. It is opening day at Fenway. If you're going to the game, they ask you to be in your seats by around 1:30 for pregame festivities. First pitch set for 2:10 as they host the St. Louis Cardinals. Bees lost to the Montreal Canadiens last night, 4-1. Bruins host the Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow at 7. And the Phoenix Suns are in town tonight to take on the Celtics at 7:30.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, 62. More clouds tonight, 42. Clouds and showers tomorrow, 46. Still wet on Sunday, 57. Cloudy Monday, 46. And finally, some sun by Tuesday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts. WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Today's Fun Friday question: what's the best thing you've ever won? And that could be, you know, the most valuable thing you've ever won in terms of money, maybe the best experience you've ever won, maybe something that you won that had sentimental value. What's the best thing you've ever won? 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. You know, we like to have the Fun Friday question, a way to, because we talk about heavy stuff during the course of the week, not just here on this show, but on all of our programs. So I like to have a little bit of fun on Friday and talk about something a little less serious. Tia said on Facebook, $700 on a slot machine at Foxwoods and or a free night at Great Wolf Lodge. Well, those are great prizes to win. I haven't had serious winnings, I guess we'll say, in a casino. I don't really bet much either, though. So the first time I went to the casino with my parents, you know, after I turned 21, they took me down to Foxwoods. Actually, it was a couple of years after I turned 21, but I was in no rush to go. But one time on a Friday night, I had the night off from work, and I used to have to go into the Standard Times and do the sports coverage, high school sports coverage, but it had rained, so there was no games. Everything was washed out, so I didn't have to go in. So they're like, well, we're going to go to Foxwoods. You want to come with us? We'll show you around. So I went down, bet in the off-track betting room where you could bet on dog and horse races around the country, and I won like, I don't know, like $6. I was like, all right, that's it. That was the only bet that I placed. And, you know, I kind of watched other people play, but I was just really there to try the buffet and see what the place was all about. And then I went to Twin River for a Ghost Hunters event. I got the, I guess, I won't call it the bug, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to try and play a machine before we leave. Like, I started thinking about that throughout the course of the night. Like, maybe I'm going to try it. I've never actually played a machine. Let's see what happens. I used to play video poker at Ryan Family Amusements, but that was for tickets. But I was like, well, maybe I'll. So as we were leaving, I put $20 into a machine. Well, I put $20 on a card or whatever it is that you did. But on the first game that I played, I won $60. So I was like, well, let's put the 20 back in my pocket and keep going, and stayed for a couple of hours. And then when I went to New Orleans, I was walking from my hotel in the Garden District to the French Quarter, and I was going to be meeting some friends who had left the hotel earlier and gone to Walmart. And so they were on the public transit bus to go to Walmart and come back. So they were kind of held up by things. So as I'm walking from the Garden District to the French Quarter, it's hot in New Orleans, even in May. And so there's Harrah's, the casino. I was like, well, I'm gonna, and it says on the map, you can walk through Harrah's. And when you come out on the other side of Harrah's, you're in the French Quarter. I was like, well, it'll be nice. A couple minutes of air conditioning. So I walked in, and as I'm walking through, I saw the machines that were penny machines. I was like, well, I guess I can play those because I'm not going to spend that much. And so for a dollar that I put into the machine, I was there for like 2 hours just playing penny games, penny poker and things like that. So, you know, that's, and then when I've gone on cruises, I've gone down to the casino maybe because I had credits on, you know, room credits. So I'd go down to the casino and I didn't, what else was I going to do with them? I wasn't, I already had the unlimited drink package. I didn't care about going to the fancier restaurants. Wasn't going to buy anything on the ship that, you know, the expensive stuff like the art auctions and things like that. So I was like, well, I'll just go in the casino and use it. And I'm so cheap about it. It'd be there for a couple hours. So that's the extent of my gambling. Not really a thing for me. But what's the best thing you've ever won? 508-996-0500. We'll take your calls. Just a quick app chat message I got regarding our discussion about the screening committee and the hiring of New Bedford's next police chief. MB in Fairhaven says, a few questions. Why didn't they use an executive police recruiter, given that that is a known best practice? What actually is the process? Is the panel interviewing or just reviewing submitted resumes? So based on, I might have, you know, spoken incorrectly about it, but based on the information they put out yesterday, the screening committee is going to be the first step of going through those submitted resumes, and they are going to conduct the first round of interviews. And those who test the highest with the screening committee will then be referred to the mayor for the mayor to then interview. So they will be conducting interviews as part of it. And when Mayor Mitchell comes on Wednesday with Chris, I'm sure they'll get even more into the process of what it'll be all about. 508-996-0500. Again, today's Fun Friday question, what's the best thing you've ever won? So if you want to answer that or whatever else is on your mind. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. The best thing I ever won was in the 1980s. Two tickets to see the Rolling Stones in Boston.
Ooh.
By limo. And the limo brought me and my friend first to Freestones for dinner, and then we went up.
So
and I won that.
I would say, was that part of the prize, the Freestones, or was that just asked them to stop there?
No, it was combined.
Oh, wow.
And to get this, you had to compete with other people on a postcard for 25 words or less what you would do to get this prize. And I wrote down that I would roller skate on steel wheels for an hour in the parking lot of the radio station. And the radio station says, oh, relax, you're not on view. It's just, you know, audio.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to skate, but I did. I skated for an hour.
Well, that's because you're authentic and real, and you wanted to do it the right way. So what radio station was that, if you don't mind my asking?
WNBH.
Okay.
When they announced it, they said they would announce it 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, I was on my way to work, and I went, I was thinking of calling first. I was so sure I won. And so as I drove to work, I dived down to WNBH, and I went in, and I talked to them on the air for a while, and then I went to work.
Well,
best morning I ever had.
And I can imagine that was a fantastic show.
Yes, and I love the Stones. I go to almost all their concerts, but not the last one that they had, because I had, what's the name of that ticket place? Ticketmaster?
Yes.
I had a card for $350, and they wouldn't accept it at the stadium.
Oh.
They said, no, you have to go on a computer and use it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, so that ruined it, because I'd rather do the postcard.
I totally understand.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
And let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Jim.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I just got one for you. Back in 1978, summer of 78, I won a brand new 1979 Buick two-door Regal.
Wow.
In a golf tournament. I was invited to a celebrity amateur tournament in Brockton. And I remember, because on the tee, waiting to hit was Bobby Orr and Dwayne Cashman, all the old Bruins. And I was playing that day. I was teamed up with Rico Petrocelli from the old Red Sox team.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my big win. Back then, though, the car was worth, I think, $7,500, brand new.
And, of course, you had to pay taxes on it.
Yeah. So actually, all it cost me was the taxes and insurance. I think I got the car really for $1,000.
Not bad at all.
That's a good deal. So that's my little story.
What happened to the Buick?
The Buick, I ran it until it didn't run anymore. That was the only car I've ever owned. So
there you go.
I took advantage of it.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day.
All right, John. Take care.
Yeah, that's the thing that people don't realize, that when you win prizes, you are responsible for paying the taxes on it. So keep that in mind. It says it right in the rules. And I see Skeddy's on hold. Skeddy, let me take a quick break, and then we'll go right to you. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning, Skeddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Tim. You sound great.
Thank you. So do you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited for the weekend. I had a question about the food drive.
Yes.
It's going to be raining, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, it's a 50-50 chance.
So when we bring the food over to you, because last year I brought it to the office and I put it in my shopping bags. So you guys, what do you want us to put the food in?
I mean, people put them in all kinds of things. You can put them in brown paper bags. You can put them in plastic bags. You can put them in, you know, if you have them in reusable bags and you say, I want my bag back, we'll just go take them, put them on the table and bring your bag back to you.
Oh, yeah, no, I have plenty of reusable bags.
The way the process works is we take all the items and we put them on a table, and then the kids from our sister's school and the folks from the United Way, they put them in, what they do is they categorize them all. right there along the sidewalk. And then that way there, when they load the truck up, they load them up by the type of food they have. So it makes it a lot easier when they're unloading it later to know what goes where. So if you give it to us in a reusable bag, like that bag, I don't know where it's going to end up. So you're better off just saying, you know, I'll take my bag back and we'll bring it back to you. That'll be easier.
Yeah, I got 100 of them. I got to get rid of them, actually. I have way too many. So, also, I just wanted to say, I've won things, but I've never won anything where it didn't involve me having to spend money. So I've never been lucky that way. Only once. I was like 14 or 15 years old, and I used my mother's name. I filled out this thing. It was in a magazine. Back then, you know how they always had these contests in magazines?
Mm-hmm.
So I entered it, and I put my mom's name and age. I lied about her income. And sure enough, we won. They sent all this stuff and where she had to go and everything. You had to go to California to pick up the prizes, and you had to pay taxes. Well, we were poor. That wasn't happening. I didn't think about it when I entered it that, you know, you'd have to go to California and, like you said, taxes. So, I mean, it was... So close, but you know what I mean? So far away.
You know, now that I think about it, I think when I entered to win that computer and I won that computer when I was five, I think I put my parents' name down, and I think that's what actually made it so that they had to give me the prize, even though I was 5 years old and I entered a contest. Because otherwise, I don't think they would have had to give me the prize if I just put my own name. But I think I put either my mom or my dad's name down, and that's how we ended up getting it.
Wow, yeah. Back when I was a kid... Yeah, there was nothing. I don't remember anything like that. I just put her name, her income. I think for back then, I think I put like $35,000, $40,000, which would be a lot of money way back then. So, but yeah, I didn't think about, you know, I didn't think it through, put it that way. But I've won like raffle tickets. I won a meat raffle once. I didn't need it. So I had the two men that were, I asked, you know, who had the most kids. And those two did. And so I gave the one, I had them split it, but the one that had like one extra kid, I think he had five and the other one had four. So anyways, they divided it up. And I said that's the only way they could get the prize. So, but you know, other than that, yeah, a little bit of lottery money here and there, nothing big. But I mean, that's nice. But I've never won anything where where you don't have to spend money.
Well, you know what? Be entering those codes for Money Talks and maybe you'll be a $1,000 winner.
I know. You know what? I haven't even entered that yet. I should do that at some point.
Well, first code is coming up in the next hour, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, everybody have a schedule of a weekend and I will be there tomorrow, Tim. And I look forward to tonight.
We'll see you there. Have fun tonight, and I hope that you are, you know, I don't want you to hurt yourself laughing, but I hope it's gut-busting laughter for you.
Yes. Thanks.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
And yes, Sketty's going to be at the Mercy Meals and More comedy show tonight, and you can find out more about that at mercymealsandmore.com or funnyforfunds.com. Funny, the number four, funds.com. And then, of course, we'll be at Aldi tomorrow from 10 to noon for the Hungry Heroes food drop. Come on by. If you don't have food to donate, you can go into Aldi. They'll have it all right there by the register for you to buy and then just come out and give it to us. But if you do show up with the food and it's in bags and they are reusable bags and you want those bags back, just say, hey, can I get my bags back? We'll just go. We'll bring them over to the table. We'll take the contents out for the kids to sort through and then we'll bring your bags back to you. So you don't even have to get out of the car. Don't bother getting out of the car, especially if it's raining. Let us do all the work. All right. I'm going to take one final break here. And before the end of this hour. So let's get that done and we'll be right back. And, of course, that is Kylie Minogue. I know I already played that song earlier this week, but it ties into today's Fun Friday question. What's the best thing you've ever won? And you could be winning tickets to see Kylie Minogue. Today's the last day we'll be giving them away. You can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And that contest, as with all of our ticket giveaways here on The Morning Show, is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where they're having that special event today. And I'll be over there. I'm going to be checking out Ports and Pride. It's happening from 5 to 7 at Stevie's. You can celebrate Portugal with Wailing City Tattoo Company and Cabriz Wine. So you get to sample Cabriz Wine, and you get to sign up for some special flash tattoo designs and deals from Wailing City Tattoo Company. And they said that it's going to be, all the designs are going to be $25 off. So you want to get over there and check that out. 5 to 7 today at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue. And again, it's also the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy anything that you want to try. Whiskey, bourbon, scotch, vodka, anything that has a Purple Dot next to it, you can ask for a sample before you commit to buying it. But they also have these great events like they're having today. So if you head on over there, I'll see you over there. And well, speaking of being lucky in love, or maybe lucky to get out of love, Jesse said, I won my sanity and my freedom back when I broke up with my ex. Yay me. I think a lot of us can relate to that for sure. And you don't have to be Kylie Minogue, I guess, to be lucky in love or lucky to get out of love, one way or the other. We're going to talk more about luck coming up in the next hour. I've been getting some app chat messages, so we can get into those. And, of course, you can call in 508-996-0500. Let's not forget, too, it is April.